Welcome everyone to the Tuesday, October 22nd meeting of the Madison Arts Commission. We have our lovely friends from Overture Center here with us today, as well as City Attorney Michael Haas. I will call the meeting to order. And as we were waiting, we know that we have enough people here for quorum. I guess I would start with looking for a motion to approve the minutes from the September 18th meeting.
Move approval of September 18th minutes.
Great. We have a motion from Alder Rummel with a second from TL Luke. Is there any discussion about the minutes? Seeing none, then we can move to a vote unless anyone would like to object or abstain. We can record unanimous consent. Is there anyone that would like to object or abstain? Seeing none, the motion carries. So just for everyone's sake, we obviously have our friends from Overture Center here who are going to talk about what the work they've been doing this past year, and we're going to review the Overture Center contract. Unfortunately, agenda item two, introduce the new MAC Commission member. Tony was unable to join us tonight on the short notice, so we'll do that again in the future. Thanks. It's likely that then after agenda items three and four, that we'll then look to push everything off to the next meeting just due to personal needs of some commissioners. So, with that, staff, do you have a PowerPoint for Overture staff? And welcome, Chris and Mike and Tim. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Just testing. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I have my volume turned up. I can barely hear you, Nick, but that's okay.
Okay.
I can hear you. I just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. We're glad to be here for our visit or at this time of year, usually when we've sent all of our materials that are required per our structural agreement with the City of Madison, and then our annual performance contract with the City of Madison as well. That requires us to report on our activity from our last fiscal year. Our last fiscal year ended this past June 30th, and the materials were due 90 days after that, and we provided all of those materials on September 30th. I'm looking in Legistar under our agenda item, and there are 71 items. It looks like everything back from 2014 is included there. So really, if people are people seeing that in Legistar, is that where you're referring to the documents?
Yep, that is
The
correct.
current year items start at number, sorry, 65. So 65 through 71 are the anything with an FY 2024 on it are the items that you'll want to refer to. There's everything back there since 2014, but the last six or so are the ones that you'll want to refer to. And there's, the main report is item number 65. And I'm not going to go through that in detail, but that really is the report that it's long, but it summarizes everything that we are required to report on. And then there's a number of appendixes afterwards that kind of include some additional data and support the information in that report. And then we've created a slideshow. It's again, there's so much information, and I don't know how much time I've allotted, but I don't want to take all of your time tonight. But we have a slideshow that we'll go through that kind of helps at least summarize the highlights that we think. But again, we're happy to speak to or answer any questions on any of the information in there. If we could go to the next slide. So again, looking at that annual report, report number 65, and sorry, I'm navigating multiple screens, so when I pause, I apologize. But the first couple of pages of that report, we're required to report on overtures, our fiscal year, goals and progress towards those goals, and what we accomplished in the last fiscal year. So again, I'll touch on those highlights. We break our organizational goals into four categories. The first of which here is financial stability, and the individual goals on there. The numbers aren't here on the slide, but there's more detail in the that detailed report. But basically, it's our budgeted numbers and our budgeted goals of meeting earned revenue goals to help support our activities. Also, our contributed revenue goals. All of these were met or exceeded. We managed our expenses to budget, which is always a goal, key for our financial stability. We're also in the middle of our Overture Forever campaign, which is to help us build our endowment and a fund for capital funds to pay for the $4 million in maintenance that our building requires annually. And then out of the pandemic, we had a goal of restoring our cash that had decreased during the pandemic to have 12 months to be more stable for our operations. Next slide, please. The next category of our goals is programming excellence. And we measure this based on the quality of the artistic performances that we are offering, the artistic experiences that we're offering, not only the quality, which you can see there is measured through surveys of our audience members that have attended the show, but then also the number of artistic experiences delivered. You can see that first goal we did meet based on those survey results, that's 4.55 out of 5. The artistic experiences number, you see we fell short, but we kind of shot for the moon a bit there, and we've changed, you know, how we measure or how we set that goal. We're looking for a percentage increase year over year. That still is a percentage increase from the prior year, but the number we set, we've kind of have a better formula based on, rather than just throwing out a round number like that in the future. And then getting Overture out in the community with just our marketing efforts and whatnot, we met that goal as well. Next is operational excellence, the next category of our goals. And these were all met, you know, again, through surveys of our patrons. We want to make sure that they have an enjoyable experience and rate the building and their experience highly. And both of those goals, again, out of 5, achieved the goal of being higher than a 4-star performance. The Net Promoter Index, that's what we do when we survey. Our building is also used, I mean, mainly for our artistic experiences, but also for those rental conferences or weddings or things of that nature. And we survey those participants as well about their experience. Again, we just, whether it's artistic experience, anybody that comes in our building, we want them to have a great experience. And that came out positive as well. And then again, I mentioned the breadth of capital projects that our building requires. $4 million on average each year to maintain the facility, technology, et cetera. And we set those, we have a capital projects budget each year, and we have to prioritize projects just based on our budget, what we are able to do each year, and into different priorities. And those priority A ones are our top priorities that we really talk about, you know, safety purposes and just, you know, making sure the facility is state of the art. A lot of those details are on page 4 of that appendix in Legistar. Some of the highlights, you know, looking at our roofs having to be repaired. We installed a new water softening system. One of our goals too is to be more sustainable and a smaller carbon footprint or just more environmentally friendly. So that's some of our priorities as well. And then finally, the last measurement we use for our goals is engaged workforce. A lot of these were postponed this year. We did have some changes in our human resources department, and they're really dependent. So a lot of these goals were dependent on their help. We do have that position refilled again, and we're making good progress on catching up to these goals, I should say. And I apologize for not introducing myself. I know Nick did a good job, but just so I can introduce my team too, I'm speaking on behalf of the Overture executive leadership team. As you, I think most of you might know, we don't have a CEO. We have five CEOs that lead the organization. Again, I'm Chris Vogel. I'm co-CEO and Chief Financial Officer. And then joining me is Mike Conway, again, co-CEO and Chief Operating Officer. Tim Sowers, co-CEO and Chief Artistic Experience Officer. And then I'm not sure if Jenny's on or not, but Jenny Dahlman is our Chief Marketing and Communications Officer and co-CEO, and Emily Greenwald, our co-CEO and Chief Development Officer. So sorry I didn't do that at the start. Okay, the next slide, please. Now this really gets into, and again, a lot of this information, a lot more details in those appendixes in Legistar, but we wanted to speak to just the number of artistic experiences offered in our fiscal year that just ended. And you can see here that number was 461,000 across our different lines of business, I'll say, our different offerings from Broadway, which I don't think needs explanation, to Overture Presents, which are a lot of our one-night performances and concerts and shows. We have nine resident companies, including Madison Symphony Orchestra, Children's Theater, Forward Theater. Those nine resident companies call Overture home, and most of their performances are within our building, so you see the experiences there. A number, again, of local arts groups as well. And then some of those private rentals, again, I mentioned weddings, non-performances, basically. And then our education and engagement programs, which I'm going to speak to a bit here more. And those education and engagement programs, that really makes up the bulk of our that report as well. So there's a lot more details there for you to read. So in total, you can see the number of over 460,000 artistic experiences. And you can also see our artists, some other details there. You know, Broadway always gets the headlines, right? Those big shows, those traveling Broadway shows. But you can see here that of the over 1,700 artists that performed on our stages the past year, over 63% were local. So that means within the Dane County area. So we're proud of that number as well. You can see there the work we do with our resident companies and other local arts groups, the discounts that we offer or rental subsidies for them to be able to more affordably perform on our stages. Those numbers totaled over 1.4 million. And then again, you can just see some details of where our tickets are purchased. 41% by Madison residents, 73% within Dane County. Next slide, please. Skipped one there. This is just our statement of financial position and statement of activities. This really summarizes our financial results. There's an audit report included. We do get, I have a full financial statement audit that includes and these numbers reflect that audit. And these numbers reflect, just to briefly touch on, you know, everything I'm speaking to is Overture Center Foundation. We are two legal entities, Overture Development Corporation, which owns the building. So these numbers are consolidated that include both companies, but really I'm speaking on the operating company here. Next slide. And then again, briefly now, just to touch on within operations, some highlights. Again, some of the key projects that we worked on or that were completed in the last fiscal year, the new water softener, we remodeled our ticket office. Again, a lot of safety issues that we prioritize. You can see our mission there to support and elevate our community's creative culture, economy, and quality of life, and our vision of creating extraordinary experiences through the arts. And then again, to touch on a few of our educational and engagement programs, some of the highlights, Disney musicals in schools. This has been going on for a number of new years, but continues to grow. You can see we added four new schools this year and 160 total students. So we're happy with the growth in that program. Again, a lot more details. Sorry to be brief, but a lot more details in that overall report. The Jerry's in our 15th year already, and again, that program continues to grow. That is our program, for those that aren't familiar, that goes to high schools all around the state. I mean, as far as north as Rhinelander, as far as west, all across the state. We've reviewed nearly 100 schools, reviewed over 108 of their musicals that their high school theater presents. And at the end of the year, there's a celebration awards for all those students that participate. And that program touches nearly 11,000 students just in the past year. On stage, if anybody was down by Orchard this afternoon, you saw the buses out there, the school buses. This is our program that offers programs for school-age children during the day. So we have those different programs. And again, great growth there. You can see the number of schools and participating students that we touch with that program. And finally, Kids in the Rotunda. Most of you might be familiar with that one. We just kicked it off here again in October to start up the new season. And that's where on Saturdays, from October through nearly the summer, with obviously some breaks from holidays, but every Saturday in the Rotunda, there's three performances that are free to the public that children and their families attend, can participate in, and you can see the numbers of performances there. I think, and then, okay, also our community ticketing program. I'm kind of brief there, but you see the number of tickets we distribute throughout the organization, or throughout the community with organizations we work with, I'm sorry. Our equity and innovation department, the training that we hold, not only for our employees, our full and regular part, our regular employees, but also our volunteers, which number over 400, our resident companies, our board of directors. We've really expanded the offerings of this programming, or of this training, I'll call it, within the organization, and with it really outside the organization as well. That's grown as well. And that is it. I don't know if I was brief or long, but we covered the slideshow there. I guess within that report, again, I think that was appendix item number 65. There's so much more detail about each of those programs I talked about some of the schools participating, just further details, additional numbers to help support. I wanted to present that slideshow just to give some highlights of those community programs. But I did want to touch on a couple of other items really briefly. Part of our agreement with the city is that, and I think the language is actually included in the annual performance contract, is that 30 to 40% of those total number of artistic experiences you saw there, which was over 460,000 last year, are free and low cost. So providing access all across the community. I think the number this past fiscal year was closer. It was about 38%. And that's our commitment, that of the number of artistic experiences we offer, it's through those free and low-cost programs. Again, so many more details about those numbers and details of the program are included in that report. And then finally, the last thing I'll touch on, and then we go to questions if there are any. One of the items that has been always requested, or even more details, is how do we spend the grant that we receive from the Room Tax Commission each year. And that is on page, there's on page five, there's a paragraph there, and then on Appendix G, which is item number 71 in Legistar, touches on that or provides some more details or a summary. But I don't know if everybody wanted all the accounting minutia behind it, but I think we summarized it hopefully pretty well. But I just want to touch on that. The $2.1 million that we received, or I'm sorry, the funding that we received last year, helped pay or helped funds about $900,000 of our capital projects. But then most the remaining amount went to support many of those free and low cost programs that I described. And you can see also on one of those reports how those programs are budgeted, so the dollars spent. And you can see that is an investment, to make sure we get to that 30 to 40%. That's an investment on that we make and budget for, but that's our commitment to the community to fund those programs. But certainly, that city grant dollar helps us fund those programs. So within the details there on page five, you can see about 600,000 was paid in direct wages to not only our IATSE, but AFSCME, our IATSE stagehand union. And then we also have an AFSCME union that includes employees back from when we were a city-run organization. That's historical there. And again, then other amounts are detailed there. But I did want to point to that detail because I know that's been requested in the past. So I wanted to just point you to those details. Happy to talk through any of it, but the information hopefully there makes sense. That's all I had. I don't know, Mike and Tim, if there's anything else to add or others. I'm happy. All of us are happy to answer any questions that you might have. And I see one hand up.
Yeah, Bethany. You're still on mute if you.
Yep, sorry, had to give a bunch of permissions. Yeah, I do not have a question, but as one of the two members, I believe, who have experienced this report many, many times, notably pre-COVID, so this is really us getting back to things somewhat normally pre-COVID, or sorry, post-COVID. That I thoroughly appreciate both the detail and the brevity that you were able to achieve in presenting that detail. We historically have not seen detailed numbers in this way, presented in this manner. So I'm sure Anna is feeling similarly, that I really appreciate the detail and the breakdown, while also keeping it concise.
Well, I appreciate that feedback and took it to heart last year, knowing that that had been an issue for some time. So we really wanted to make sure we addressed it this year. So I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, this was amazing. It was really great to see, the local programming and the free programming, but also like understand that you need things like water softeners.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, TL.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
I just want to also fully underline what Bethany just said. I was very fortunate to join the commission last year and started my tenure with the this fiscal year's contract, and absolutely was pushing for that segregated accounting as well. And I am very, very happy to see these numbers. Please always give us too much information, because as like we are trying to deal with very low Wisconsin arts funding in general, of the entire United States. And so I know that I feel very defensive when it comes to like, how are we funding these things when we have very low money to play with? And so I very, very, very much appreciate that transparency that you presented us today. I do have Oh, and I also wanted to thank you for breaking down specifically the artistic experience numbers and the local arts involvement numbers. You've broken it down in the past as well. Like you said, we have back until 2014 of data from you. So I really liked seeing that kind of nuance and context for what those artistic experiences are. My one question is, you very briefly mentioned the like, we kind of threw out a round number of the like 600,000 artistic experiences, and that you have figured out a new formula for how to measure that. And I was curious if you could explain a little bit of what that new formula looks like, so that personally I have a better understanding, because that was the one thing that I love reviewing contracts, and so I was like, ooh, this is the one like area that wasn't like quote unquote achieved. And so I'm very curious to see like what, just so that when we review it next year, you know, what are we kind of looking at?
Yeah, well, thanks for the feedback, TL, and the question. And maybe I worded that a bit incorrectly. We definitely have a way to measure the actual number. You know, we have ticket sales. Some of them are estimations, you know, kids in the rotunda, for example. Not everything is a ticketed event. So there are a few estimates in there, but we can get to a very solid number usually of number of experiences offered, right? What I meant to say was that target that we set for fiscal year 24 of 600,000, we've been up, even including, you know, we set that target like a year and a half ago, right? When you're building the budget before fiscal year 24 even started. So that would have been in spring of 23. And we were still, a lot of numbers had been, boy, we got to get back to a base. COVID just threw everything off. So I know COVID was 3 years ago, but we didn't reopen until fall of 21. So to get our baseline numbers and targets has taken a bit of time. So that's what I meant, is that 600,000 was a bad target for us. We just didn't know what it was going to be year over year growth. COVID, you know, again, that setting that baseline. What we're now targeting is taking the number we established last year, the actual number, and as we look to grow and expand our programming and offer more artistic experiences, we want to touch more members of the community. So our target then grows on the prior year actual versus that 600,000. That was the number that was kind of the shot in the dark because we were still trying to figure out that baseline. So
totally, that makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
So, if I may, just to be just super clear. So you're using the real numbers, the real data that you were able to access. So that like 400,000+ experiences. And is it like a, you know, our goal then is to be like 3% higher next year? Is it like that kind of,
that's
sort
right,
of building out? Okay. Thank
yep,
you for explaining
right.
that. I really appreciate.
Yeah.
I appreciate your candor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anna, I know you had raised your hand earlier. Were you wanting to make a comment? If not, it's okay. I don't mean to call on you.
No, just everything Bethany said. Thank you guys so much. This is a really helpful report. So thank you.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Is there any other questions for our friends here? Yeah, Tio.
I have a question for perhaps the next item where we're talking about the sorry, let me pull up the agenda. The annual performance contract. Is that something that I should pause on?
Yeah, we can just pause this to give
okay.
a question for it, and then we can move on to the next item, because this item is really just more the presentation, I believe.
Perfect. Perfect.
And of course, I like closed my tab of what my agenda was, but okay. It seems like we don't necessarily have any other questions, and I guess I would just echo that I think that you know, I would express additional appreciation just for the way things are laid out and things like that. You know, I think it speaks to the increased levels of, as TL pointed out, transparency and just kind of understanding of the you know, the massive enterprise that is Overture Center and all the amazing things that happen under your roof. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Nick.
And then seeing that, I guess Oh, so sorry, TL, were you talking sp I'm just looking at the right here, the this net were you referring to the next bullet point, this discussion of performance contract performance evaluation criteria? Okay, then yeah, sorry, my
The
apologies.
eight
By
point
all
four
means,
five
that
four
technically is
thing.
like part of this, so.
So I'm very interested in this annual performance contract, and I really liked going through it. It's quite detailed on in a way that I is this new? Is this like rewritten in a way that I feel like I don't remember it being this like.
Yeah, so I guess just as like a recap, and I apologies depending on what when you joined the commission compared to kind of where some of this conversation has been. There was the oh God, going back to pre-COVID, there was the need to renew the structural agreement that the City of Madison has with Overture Center that was originally established when Overture Center, like. When like was spun out from being a part of city government into being a private entity. And in addition, then there's the annual contract, which is the next agenda item, number four, right? That is the actual like signing of the contract that issues like payment terms and all of those things. That's this annual grant. So there was a lot of discussion that contract or that structural agreement was kind of just kind of like maintained in a holding pattern for a number of years due to COVID and the ability to come together. There was the unfortunate passing of the former CEO, obviously the pandemic and the impact it had on the arts sector. And so then when we discussed the rewriting the structural agreement, which is going into like agenda item, or sorry, like on that Legistar item 32522, was that's like numbers like 50, like kind of in the 50s, like 51-ish to like 50, yeah, somewhere like in there. There was the effort to try to pull out some of the reporting requirements because they kind of existed in two different places. Like when Overture Center first be was first spun out, when operations of the facility were first spun out into being the private 501c3, there was a lot kind of different expectations as the community, there was questions about like how are the operations going to work in this different kind of governance model and where there was oversight. So some of those questions, and if you want to talk about a lot of fun history and articles from around that time, I can definitely point you in the right direction at another moment. But that a lot of those things that were written into the first structural agreement, like weren't necessarily as didn't seem to speak to the current moment of this relationship. In addition, also because things had kind of existed both as like the decade-long structural agreement and then the annual contract, the reporting part got really kind of messy. So part of the effort was like, let's talk about the actual reporting and just the annual contract. So on an annual basis, if there's anything that we feel is we as city government feel is missing or could be better clarified, that could be addressed like in a more clear manner on an annual basis, rather than being part of this separate document, which is kind of a like once in the decade document that gets reviewed. And so I think that this was really part of, I don't know if this is necessarily like the first year, this is where I'm losing track of time, but like where this is really kind of like probably the first fiscal year where this whole like where all the reporting has been able to be done kind of like under this new set of circumstances and expectations around the new structural agreement.
Thank you for explaining all of that. But like this is just so thorough in a way that it's absolutely what I really enjoy about this is that it opens up that annual review process and in a way that the structural agreement, the 10-year structural agreement was, like you said, And anyway, so the one question that I had while reviewing this was just thinking about the commissioner side of it all, which is how are what is our curriculum for Overture's success for each review? And I'm seeing the like the annual community report and like these goals and stuff that we have. I guess I'm, and this might be something for the future, and something that we discuss another time, but I guess as a commissioner, I'm curious what like failure looks like for the Overture Center as we move forward with these, really, I agree, like they're so important, these like large, this large grant, and I want Overture to keep being able to utilize it. I just want to make sure that we're doing a good like checks and balance for them. And so my singular question was just, what does failure look like for on the commissioner side? That kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I guess I would say that, at least from my point of view, right, like that there clearly has been like this recovery period post-pandemic, and I guess I would be curious, like, as we look towards this current year that we're in, like, and as we as a metro and as a city, like, continue to grow, to hope, that hopefully we continue to kind of see like an increasing trend line to having an increase in artistic experiences and increase in like those high levels of operational excellence and things like that. And I guess I would say that at a minimum, like the way in which this annual report is broken out, right? Like, and the reporting on these goals that, like, that, right, it would be somewhat clear and obvious in a way that something wasn't necessarily being hit. And like, for example, like in my mind, it's like totally reasonable that some of the employee engagement and participation things have been postponed due to a turnover of like a key staff member, and understanding how HR fits into, small but reasonably sized enterprises, that they weren't able to like do all the staff surveying and engagement that they had hoped for. But I guess I would turn the question to anyone else. But in my mind, those are kind of the things that I would look for, is like, I know that like one thing that had been kind of a had been not necessarily actioned on for a while was the rebuilding of the endowment. But obviously, with the public part of announcement of the Overture Forever capital campaign and the progress that's been made on that's something that in the past maybe was like the one item that I felt like every year like definitely was not being necessarily like actioned upon, while also understanding that like, right, like large scale fundraising to the level of like rebuilding an endowment due to a whole bunch of financial stuff, like it takes time and takes effort. But there, in my mind, there that's an example where like really good progress has been made. And even with that, on page 5 of the full report, right, like obviously the pandemic and the death of then CEO Sandra like delayed the campaign. So I don't know if any other commissioners have any opinion or anything they want to add to TL's question.
And thank you. That was a very helpful response, Nick. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, Alder Rommel.
Thank you, Nick. You've done a really excellent job summarizing all this. Thank you. It's very impressive. Look, we're lucky that you're here to tell us all this because, I was around when we first went through the whole, it was kind of a traumatic time for the city council. And, we created a special committee to resolve some of these questions. And I think one of the things that we really were focused on when I get to Teal's question about fail is how do we make sure that that Overture helps to, reach out to communities that don't normally have access to the facility and make sure there's systematic and in creative ways that they can reach out. And I think they've shown that they do it. And this year they've shown it again. So I guess to me that would be one of the fails that the council would consider, that piece of the outreach and the accessibility of the facility to people who otherwise would not attend.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. I think that and I guess we could ask, but I would imagine that obviously, like, wanting to be a space that our whole community views, not only views but as accessible, but is taking advantage of and is able to enjoy, is a goal of Overture Center staff and as well. Are there, I guess, any other conversation? Otherwise, we could then move on to agenda item number 4, which is Legistar 58454, which is the actual authorizing of the annual performance contract for 2025 operations. Okay, seeing, and then we can move on to the next agenda item. And as you can see, the attachment for this resolution is the actual contract as would be executed then in this coming year. As you all may be aware, that, oh gosh, in the mid 2010s, I would have to, someone could check me on the actual year. The money that the Overture Center receives from the city was moved from the general operating budget to be funded via the room tax commission. And so, like, room tax commission has met and has, I believe, right, already dealt with their budget allocation. And so this is really just kind of like our stamp of approval on the fact that Overture Center, is doing the things kind of as previously addressed in the previous agenda item, working towards all those goals that Chris, as Bethany said, like, summarized with like a ton of detail, but also enough brevity to show that the continued work that Overture Center is doing in line with the structural agreement. But then this is the actual, like, execution of the contract, or us recommending the execution of the contract. So I guess I would entertain a motion if someone has one. Yeah, Alder Rummel.
Motion to recommend approval of the contract.
Great. And Anna, I'm assuming that's a second then.
Yep.
Great. Is there any discussion on the motion at hand? I hope that I've done, or, now that we've, I think, just to kind of echo some of what's been previously stated, that obviously, like, kind of the annual rhythm of this, the fact that over the course of obviously, like, an ever-changing body and also Overture Center Foundation navigating operations, like, during and post-pandemic, that we've been able to hopefully, like, make this a less painful process, and that there's some general that this has seemingly been a great conversation. City Attorney Haas, I see you are off camera. Hello.
Yes, thank you. I will just briefly just note a couple of things for the commission. This is, I think, the fifth year I've sat through this presentation, and I agree. It feels like sort of a landmark meeting because, as those of you who've been around for a while remember, there was a bit of over a couple of years when we were trying to renew the structural agreement. There were questions from the commission, and just coming to a point where the commission understood that, what the grant funds could be used for, which is essentially anything operational or capital projects. But also, the commission communicating to the Overture folks the information that the commission wanted to see and have it presented in a way that was more usable. And so, I mean, personally, I'm just glad to hear that the commission is happy with what Overture is presenting. And I just wanted to echo what Nick said. As Nick was going through his sort of historical review, I kept thinking, well, in my mind, there's some points that I can bring up now, but Nick kept hitting all the important points. So, and but the one I wanted to really emphasize because of the question about the difference in past annual agreements. We did make an effort because of prior discussions in moving things into the annual agreement specifically related to reporting, so that the commission on a year-to-year basis could review that and decide if there are things that were going well or not going well as far as the reporting, and those could be adjusted from year to year rather than having that language in the structural agreement and then have conflicts between the structural agreement and the annual agreement. So in this annual agreement, we really just up only updated the references to the calendar years. And then I just wanted to point out that the Room Tax Commission did award a grant for 2025 of $2.2 million, and so that is outlined along with when those quarterly payments will be made. The only other thing we update are the dollar figures that are included regarding the capital reserve fund and the money that's been expended for capital improvements and the capital reserve total. Those are just annual numbers that are updated based on Overture's reports and the auditing of those reports. So just so you know what you are recommending, hopefully, for approval. This is as a the resolution states, or the contract states, the structural agreement was redone effective for January 2023, and because of the difference in Overture's fiscal year, I think this might be the first year that there has been a full reporting as contemplated under the new annual agreement structure. So I'll just stop there and see if there's any questions. But I agree with Nick. I think we've gotten to the point where the approval of the annual agreement hopefully should be more routine, unless the commission finds over time that there are, other things that it wants reported, and we get to an agreement with Overture on that.
See, it looks like no one has any questions for Attorney Haas. Thank you for chiming in. I appreciate it and appreciate the recognition. Obviously, been here at least long enough to help understand where we are, plus some historic reading of where we've been. Is there any? So as it stands, we have a motion. made by Alder Rommel with a second from Anna to approve or recommend a whatever the right language is, execution approval of adoption, sorry, adoption of this resolution. Is there any further discussion? Yep, Teo?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you again. This is very, very helpful. I feel like I learned a lot about the process again, and I am looking forward to next year.
Great, thank you. If there's no further discussion, then we can move to a vote, and I'm assuming that unless anyone would like to object or abstain, that we can record unanimous approval. Is there anyone that would like to object? Is there anyone that would like to abstain? Seeing none, then the motion carries. Thanks so much. Thanks, guests, for being here. Appreciate it. We'll surely see you before next year at this time. I'm coming to Overture on Friday, and I'm sure that you'll see a lot of our faces around your facilities often, because you do play a really important role in what makes arts in our community happen. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I know, so with agenda items numbers 4 and 5 taken, I know, or sorry, with 3 and 4 taken, I know that there was some discussion with staff to refer number 5 to the next meeting. Right, staff, here's.
Yeah, we have one member here who's just doing us a huge solid, okay, so we could advance Overture, but really we shouldn't. We have two members that really shouldn't be here.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I guess with, is there any, I guess just because, just before we seek a motion to adjourn, then just would like to point out specific, I guess, staff, if there's anything in the administrative reports, I just wanted to explicitly point out that there's going to be a 50th anniversary celebration of Madison Arts Commission on Thursday, December 5th at the Children's Museum. So if that wasn't on your calendar, if you would like to try to pencil that in.
I think that's an important reminder. And I
yeah,
think
just the, because that's the one that's like soon.
And I think we sent something out about the Creative Community Award, but I do think I forgot or to add it to the admin report, but I'll send a reminder about the award we're getting. Tomorrow I'll send it out. I think we're getting an award on Thursday, or I don't know. Yeah. I'm a tired woman.
That's fair, yeah. Yes. The League of Create Wisconsin and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities is recognizing Madison Arts Commission along with a bunch of other municipal arts commissions as being creative community champions on Thursday. Yeah.
So I'll send that out in a separate email, which is okay. Great. As long as we don't discuss it.
Great. I guess with that, yeah, Mary Rose.
Quick item that we'll mention on the admin report is that you guys may be aware of the effects on the operating budget due to the budget shortfall that the city is experiencing. And you may be aware that there's a referendum on the upcoming election. So the impact on the operating budget will be determined prior to our next MAC meeting. And during the mayor's proposed operating budget that was put forward 2 weeks ago, I think today, there were some cuts that will impact the Madison Arts Commission. So Karin, do you want to talk about that?
I really appreciate that you brought that up, and it's possible that Alder Rummel wants to, but it's the proposed cut coming from the planning department is to cut almost $100,000 from our grants budget. They're saving enough to meet the match from the state, but it's almost our entire arts grants budget if the referendum doesn't pass. So we can cross that bridge when we come to it, but I wanted it y'all to be aware of that. And thank you, Mary Rose, for bringing that up.
Yeah, thank you.
Alder Rummel, do you have any, I know you were at finance, I was at finance too, but do you have anything you want to add or say to that?
Yeah, I feel like the planning department took a really big hit in this, if the referendum fails budget, because the agency, which includes our little piece of it, is about 8.7% of the budget, but took 19% of the cuts if the referendum fails. So it's really hard as an alder, because I have a heart in this work, but there's so many other cuts that are also just fundamentally bad that it's making my head spin. So please talk to your friends and make sure they have all the information they need to make an informed decision about what we face if the referendum fails.
Is there somewhere where this data is written down at all? Because I would love to yell about that specifically, how like the planning department number.
So the
is pretty wacky.
If you go to cityofmadison.com /finance/budget, okay, that'll communicate everything regarding the annual budget process, including the budget kickoff, agency requests, then as stated. And mind you, both of these are operating on both a capital budget process, and then the operating budget is a separate timeline, but right, it is happening kind of in parallel. The executive budget that the mayor put forth was introduced on October 8th. And yes, finance.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's very, very, very helpful.
And Teal, at the front end, if the mayor's, both her executive summary and the full 475-page budget, they're sort of front end with a list of the cuts for if the referendum, or for if either one, because there are a few cuts and additions if the referendum passes, but the full cuts if it fails in that document. And also, I just did a Zoom meeting on the budget, and I haven't sent it out as a blog yet, but if you check blogs for alders, mine should be out hopefully by tomorrow. And I had a list of what we're facing.
Thank you. That's incredible. This is tough. It's tough stuff.
Okay. Thanks for the reminder, Mary Rose. And I guess with that, thanks again, people, for being here. We are in the midst. We did add one new member, and I know Karin is working on adding a couple more, finding a couple more people to put before the mayor's office to be nominated. But thank you all for your attendance. With that, I guess I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I can motion to adjourn.
It's like everyone loves being here. Yeah. Okay, we have a motion from TL.
Second.
A second from Alder Rummel, who is already unmuted. Okay, and thanks so much, everyone. And yeah, we'll talk about blank and next month. So thank you all so much for your time.